Well, the Patriots were supposed to have to replace nearly their entire staff. That's not the case, though. While Matt Patricia was introduced just an hour ago in Detroit as the Lions' new head coach, Josh McDaniels is not heading to Indianapolis, and he'll remain on the Patriots staff as their offensive coordinator, and we'll be talking about that plenty here today in the huddle. Drive safe out there, everybody. Weather is pretty bad, so stay safe and keep listening to us. Chris Ballard, he's the GM of the Indianapolis Colts. He's not too happy with McDaniels. He ends his press conference today saying the rivalry is back on. J.D. Martinez, the Red Sox most coveted free agent acquisition, well, hopefully, he now is reportedly fed up with the Sox and the negotiations of a contract for him and could be looking at playing for another team. That comes from Ken Rosenthal of The Athletic and the MLB Network. The Celtics are looking for upgrades at the NBA's trade deadline, which is tomorrow, but they won't trade Marcus Smart for a rental player. That comes from executive Danny Ainge. The Huddle is next on 101.3 ESPN, 101.3ESPN.com, and we're always streaming, so take us anywhere on the 101.3 ESPN app.
The Huddle, powered by Reuben James, Main Street in Burlington. Find them online at rjsburlington.com. Now, here's The Huddle, live on 101.3 ESPN, 101.3 ESPN.com, and streaming worldwide on the 101.3 ESPN app.
Good afternoon. You're in the huddle right here. 101.3 ESPN. All accounted for. Brady's here. Rich is here. Artie, you turned on the music so fast.
Yeah, I did.
Wow. You threw me off.
Sort of like Stephen A. Smith. Turn the music down.
You even asked if we were having a show today, so yeah. I'm mad at you.
Wow. It was snowing hard. How you doing, handsome? Yeah. It was snowing hard. I didn't know if we had a show today. What is the problem with that?
I love the way you say it. Be careful out there because the weather's bad. Actually, yeah. The weather is wonderful. It's the driving conditions that suck.
I didn't know we were supposed to risk our life to come to work today.
No such thing as bad weather, just bad clothing. That's what my old coach used to say.
Yeah. Were we supposed to risk our life to come to work today?
You live like 6 minutes away.
That's a rough 6 minutes, yeah. Though.
So you got any ideas of where I could pick up some snow tires, by the way?
Gosh, you can't drive your car in the snow ever. I don't understand that. Every year we deal with this.
Yeah, well, we had a 3-footer last year, and you gave me the van, and you're giving it to me tonight. So I'm out there to advertise the product on the road.
We need like a Hummer or something like that. That's what
yeah,
we need to get through.
Absolutely.
This thing. Like that.
An ESPN Hummer.
No, we do. I'm not kidding about that.
I'm salty about last night.
Oh, you should be.
Uh-oh. Oh, what happened?
You were horrible.
Oh, I thought you meant because you were a Celtics fan or something.
No, you were horrible. I mean, if I could describe Brady's play last night in one word, ass?
Atrocious?
I blame the loss on all my teammates. All you guys were horrible.
How many points did you have?
I had 8. I had
8.
Yeah, I had no points in the second half, Rich, and I'm like, and first of all, we were up by like 8 against a good team.
Yes.
And we're cruising and I'm playing good defense. I'm playing good defense.
You?
I started a fight with their biggest and best player.
Well, that's a smart move.
Yeah, threw a couple of
your worst player and get rid of
him off this game. You know who I'm talking about. The guy who was talking all the smack and he started pushing me and trying to hurt me during the game, but it was all cool. Next thing I know, one of the morons on my team, and I don't want to mention name, Rob, who works over at the TV station at WCAX.
Oh.
He gets a technical foul.
You get technicals in this
league? Oh, yeah. We went from up 8 to down by 25.
How do you get a technical in a – it was a
42-shot technical. I've never seen anything like that before in my life.
Yeah. There was a foul, a 2-shot foul. Yeah. He complained about the call, so they got 2 shots. Then he got 2 shots for the technical, and then they got the ball back.
And then they
hit
a 3-pointer.
So who's the ref? Is he like some 18-year-old?
No, it's Sammy.
It's Sammy the ref?
Sammy the ref, who he refs every year.
And he's, well.
What? What are you going to say? He's horrible?
Rob's not wrong in his assessment.
Oh, let me tell you, on the layup I made a layup. I'm like, enough is enough.
That was your first 2-pointer of the year.
I've got the takeover. Obviously. So I cut to the basket. I got a good pass. Made the bucket. Got fouled. Missed the foul shot. Right?
Yeah.
And then I'm like, the best guy on their team tried to guard me. Shot a 3 in his face. And
that's so not true.
Came out. He even said that was in my eye. He said that. And then I hit another 3. Did I lead the team in scoring last night?
No.
In the first half, maybe?
No. All my points came in the second half when we needed it.
I thought they were all in the first half.
No.
Look, Arnie. Yeah. I did miss a lot of shots yesterday.
Oh, gosh.
However,
I didn't. A lot is. Can you look up in the dictionary what the word "a lot" means? That's a two words anyway. There's got to be something else in there. Go ahead.
However,
yeah,
I had 15 last night.
You had 15?
Oh. Yes.
Well, I guess you would have 15 on what, 63 shots or something?
Yeah, something
okay,
like
okay,
that.
I had 15 slices of pizza last night. So.
It felt that way. Wow. It felt that way.
Yeah, we got clobbered ever since we got the technical right downhill.
So those TV people mouthing off, huh?
No, there weren't TV people.
Well,
no,
you said it was WCAA.
Oh, no, he was on my team.
Right.
Yeah.
I'm saying the TV guy
he mouthed
mouthing
off.
Off.
He can't
he's
keep his mouth shut.
He's a sales guy.
Yeah, he's a sales guy. Can't keep his mouth shut.
A sales guy who can't keep his mouth shut.
I go, what are you doing? What are you doing? You knucklehead you. And then the whole team fell apart. He goes, I'm sorry, that's on me. I'm like, you're damn right it was on you. You cost the team a victory.
Well, you guys still could have beaten the Celtics last night.
Yeah, well, yeah. Well, there you go on that.
You lose it by 20 there.
Hey, what a despicable performance.
Oh, I was tuning into the Bruins yesterday.
Yeah,
I was excited
you,
about that.
I mean, I do this every time. You just go back and forth, channel 3940, and all of a sudden the Celtics game just completely went in the you-know-what.
Yeah.
And the Bruins, man, I tell you, they are must-see TV, must-listen radio right now. Right.
I think our Facebook Live of Arnie and I breaking the Josh McDaniels news from basketball was higher viewed than both of those
games. You know, we do have a lot to get to. Obviously, big news with the Patriots. So, Brady, what's going on? Where are we starting? And we're not going to have trivia tonight, so go ahead and mention that.
Yeah, no trivia tonight because of the bad weather. We will not be out at the City Sports Grill in Colchester, but we will be back next week. And what better way to spend your Valentine's Day than with trivia with us? So
how romantic.
Yes. What better way? We'll even get you a candle if you come out. So,
and by the way, my name is not Arnie. That day you call me Cupid.
Yes.
Cupid Spanier is going to be my name.
Gross.
So no more. If you, I will pay your fee for the day if you wear pink tights and like a little Cupid. Like
is that something you want to see?
Really? I would pay his freight
Cupid,
if he
Cupid, draw back your bow.
Was that a song from the 30s?
And let your
something
arrow
like that.
Flow.
Yeah, something like that.
Is that
something
right? Fly.
My wife's like, Arnie, be humble. She just texts in. I'm like, no, I won't be humble.
Is that your wife?
Yeah.
Here's what's coming up in the show. J.D. Martinez might not want to play for the Red Sox.
I don't blame him.
The Colts respond to the Josh McDaniels situation. NFL players are standing up for McDaniels. Buster Olney at 5. Zach Cox, our Pats insider, at 5:20 for the final time this year. But look, first, Josh McDaniels is the big story. There's a whole lot of layers to this. But initially last night, and Arnie, we did the Facebook Live.
Yeah.
Initially, what was your first reaction?
Josh McDaniels is a bad man. He's not a good guy. He's not a guy who holds
us.
No, he's not a guy that's word means anything. He put a lot of people in a bad situation before you accept a job. And I'm not talking about put your name on there. When you tell somebody yes, your word means something. Other families got involved with this. There were moving pieces. It wasn't all about him afterwards. He should have been 100% sure before he backed out like the coward that he was. I think it was really wrong of him to do something like that. Next time, you know what? Hopefully there won't be a next time. I don't think there's going to be a next time. I wouldn't hire this guy if I had to coach a team myself and I knew nothing about football. I'd rather coach it myself. I'd rather take a basketball player and let him coach football before I had ever hired Josh McDaniels. I don't hire people who don't stick by their
word. So you wouldn't even hire him to be the head coach of your Williston Central school team?
No, nothing. Rich, you got to be by your word, and he's not a guy by your word.
No,
so there you
listen,
go.
Here's my take on this. As a Pats fan, you know I'm thrilled about it.
How many
times in the last 3 weeks have we
evaluated? But that's
evaluated?
Not the question.
No, I understand that. But my first reaction was, wow, this is great. We lost Patricia, but we didn't lose McDaniels. I've said 100 times in the last 3 weeks on this show that I would rather not lose McDaniels. I think he's crucial to the whole Brady thing. I don't think Brady wanted to lose him. I think he's a very important piece. That being said, I thought it was a Bush move. I'm like, you've got the week between the end of the regular season. You've got that bye week for the first round of the playoffs until Tennessee. Why don't you talk about it then? You've got a bye week before Super Bowl week happens. You've got 2 weeks out of four. You could have sat down with Kraft. You could have sat down with whoever you need to sit down with and not let it get to the point that it got.
This is a snake move on everyone's part. This is a snake move on everyone with the Patriots, and it mainly falls on McDaniels. But if Kraft and Belichick valued him so much and they offered him more things to keep him there, better contract, longer-term contract, Belichick's going to show him more about the inner workings of the organization. If you valued him that much, you could have told him that 3 weeks ago.
Sure.
So They could have done their part to try to keep him from leaving a long time ago. He gave his word. I thought it was scummy on his part, honestly. And look, he better be the heir apparent in New England, because I promise you, I'm not hiring him any other organization for a long time. Now, maybe in 10 years this dissipates and he could get a job somewhere else, but I am not hiring him outside of New England for a while.
We're going to point fingers. Shame on Belichick. Shame on Belichick.
In this case,
first of all.
Shame on him for sitting who he sat on Sunday.
You're 60, what is he, 67?
65.
65? You know, he said he didn't want to coach into his 70s. So that's 2-3 years, whatever the hell. I don't even care. 1 year, I don't even care how long he's going to be there. Shame on you for not teaching him the inner workings of the Patriots way before this time. I mean, how long did you think you were going to be around? Who the hell do you think you are? Why not? You have a reputation for being some prodigy, you know, being some prodigy out there. Teach him. What's the big deal? One of it has to do with the salary cap or something like that. There's something special to learn. And obviously, you have to be like an accountant to figure that out. But there's something to learn that Belichick knows, and he's not teaching him. And that's another thing. Shame on him for not teaching these coaches next for what they need to know.
Well, the thing that rang hollow with me was the talking about money. And I mean, really, did Kraft who cares
about
the
money?
I mean, could you not offer that to him in December? I mean, what's the difference? Yeah. They're all talking about, well, they sweetened the pot a little bit. And I'm thinking, well, who cares if they sweetened the pot? Why didn't they do that a month ago?
The thing they're talking about, too, is the impact of McDaniel's family on this. You know, he's got 4 young kids. He wants them to be in the same place. His wife's from New England. And look, all of that's fine. Every one of those dynamics was in play a month ago. Don't use your family as an excuse to make yourself look better in this, because that's what it feels like. He's got a wife that I presume he's been married to for at least a couple of years now.
He's got 4 kids.
Yeah. This conference, and I'm going to presume. I'm going to presume they're all from the same woman. Right. I don't know, but I'm going to presume.
He has a 10-year-old.
He's got a 12-year-old. 12,
10, so, 6, and 4, I think.
Something like that. But regardless, you've had this conversation before. You've talked about, okay, what are the places that we would like to go? What are the places that we wouldn't like to go? What about the opportunities last year when I interviewed? Were you okay with those opportunities out in San Francisco, but now Indianapolis is not a good opportunity for you? Don't use the family to shield yourself from criticism here. He knew the family dynamics long ago. This is a chump move.
Jay in Plattsburgh says Belichick did the same flipping thing to the Jets. I think he did it twice, did he not? They called the press conference twice. Yeah. Glenn in Moncton, you ladies want some cheese to go with that wine. A little bit, maybe a little free.
See, this is that. I mean, that's a Patriot fan telling us that we're crying about. Look, this is good for the Patriots. I'm telling
you. Absolutely.
This is good for the Patriots. It's good for the relationship with Brady, as you said. It's good because of the chemistry they've had together. And if you think McDaniels is as good or could be as good as Belichick, then it's good for you long term. That doesn't mean, though, what's good for the team is still not a good look for McDaniels. McDaniels comes off looking like a chump. Yep. And he better succeed in New England now and in the future if he takes over, because he's not going to get other chances easily.
And the thing to think about, too, is by the time he becomes apparent coach, the heir apparent to the head coaching job, Tom Brady's probably going to be out of town.
Yes.
So who knows what he's going to inherit at that point?
I think that he's going to end up taking 2 years of Tom Brady. I think Belichick's going to leave in a couple of years, and I think he's going to get about a 43 and a 44-year-old Tom Brady. I'm not so sure it's a good thing for the Patriots. Can you imagine if Belichick does step down, and maybe he'll be cleared up in 2 years? I don't know. I'm not a mind reader. But if you're a free agent, do you want to go ahead and come in and play for a guy who doesn't keep his word to begin with? I guess it really doesn't make a difference. It really doesn't make a difference if you get paid a lot of money, though. People forget that in 2 years.
I thought that was I think that's a good point, because I started thinking about this too from the Patriots' perspective. This is good for their offense next year and however long Brady's here. This is a very good thing.
Yep.
However, for the long term, the knock on McDaniels in Denver was that he was too immature. And maybe that's true because he was 32 years old or whatever. But he still doesn't appear to have matured. Like, I remember seeing, it was the Sporting News wrote the story last night. What grown-up does this in the business world?
Right,
he was immature then. He's still immature now. Is that the guy you want running your franchise as Robert Kraft is also on the downside of his ownership career, you're going to have...
downside of life.
Yeah, you're going to have a guy who I don't know that you can trust.
And that's not a joke, Rich. That's just the God's honest truth.
No, believe me. I completely understand why people would be furious about this. But as the lone Patriots fan in this room, I'm thrilled about it, as I said. But for McDaniels to walk into Gillette Stadium, supposedly Mike Reese was saying in ESPN Boston, walking in to clean out his, quote, locker office yesterday... And then Belichick and Kraft pulling him aside, saying, "Well, here's what we can give you: a little bit more with the inner work." Why did you do that yesterday?
But they still supposedly the rumor is they still didn't promise any coach in waiting title for him. That's still not on the table. So
well, you're not allowed to do that in spirit. Yeah. And the reason why
because of the Rooney Rule.
Yeah, that's. I mean, you can't have it in writing. You can think about it. It can kind of be an assumed.
Well,
thing,
unless you're a minority,
can't.
I'm taking. Can you be a coach in waiting if you're a minority?
Yeah, I guess you probably could. That's a good point.
Do we know that he's not any part minority?
I do not, but I doubt.
There's a lot of definitions to the minority. Maybe they did a wink, wink, a nod, nod. I don't know. The whole thing's shady. Makes the Patriots look bad too. And I like
that's new.
And I, you know what? I like Robert Kraft. I really do. I've said that many, many times. I thought when his wife was alive, and he still does very
Planet.
Yes, thank you.
Philanthropic.
He's philanthropic. And he's a really good guy. You know what I mean? He really is. And he is getting up there in age. And I saw this going on with Ralph Wilson in Buffalo. We see the same thing going on with Jerry Jones in Dallas. These guys are getting up there in years, man. And, you know, soon they're going to pass on to their teams. Stephen Jones is going to take over in Dallas. And, you know, obviously Kraft's kids are going to take over. So it's the passing of the torch.
And you wonder, though, at some point in that conversation yesterday at Gillette Stadium, if Belichick said, look, I'm under contract for 2018. I'm going to honor it, and that's going to be it. It's yours.
Did you read the story that Greg Doyle wrote in the Indy Star in which he called him a selfish little jerk and said,
no,
you know.
I didn't see. I love Greg Doyle, though. I know who he is. Yeah.
He said he was a selfish jerk and basically said that the Colts are in a better position and McDaniel saved them from themselves because basically – why would you want this scumbag around?
You guys tell me if I'm wrong, because I know we have calls. I think he owes it. And people can say, he owes anybody nothing. He just owes his family. I'm talking about McDaniels, about whether he took the job or not. I think he owes it to the people to tell us why. And now you're saying, well, what? It's none of our business. No, it is. And I'm going to tell you why. Because now I've left it open to speculation. We've heard the rumors. You know what? Maybe I don't believe the rumors. Maybe I believe that Andrew Luck really is hurt. Maybe I believe that maybe you heard something that you're not telling us, and maybe he's going to be out for the damn entire year. What's the truth? I need to know the truth now because you're going to make me speculate. If I'm a free agent, is there something wrong with Andrew Luck? Is this owner wackier than I even can imagine?
I'm not going to talk about the medicals. That's...
You know what? What made you? You have to have gotten some information to where maybe the information, if it wasn't Andrew Luck, then you have to tell me this has nothing to do with Andrew Luck. You got to tell me something other, because you can't just back out like that and leave me wondering. I can't be left wondering. Brady, we got some calls. Who's on the line?
Jim in Essex.
Jim in Essex. You're on 101.3 ESPN. What's going on, Jim?
Hey, guys.
Hey, Jim.
Not to go backwards too far, but a minute ago, Arnie, you said you wondered why free agents would come to New England if they couldn't trust McDaniels later on.
Yes.
You have the proof right there in New England. Did anybody not come to New England because of what Belichick did?
Well, that was how many years ago was that, though?
Well, still. But it still it happens. Players are going to go where they can get money and win games.
Would you do business with a guy that you didn't think was honest on just a handshake?
Players don't do business on just a handshake.
I'm asking you, though. But, I mean, well, this was a handshake. This wasn't a written agreement yet.
Right. Oh, I agree it makes him look bad, but I don't think it's as big a deal as you guys are making it out to be right now.
What about the other families that were hired because of this coaching situation that they got? Other families are in this situation.
What family has changed because McDaniels changed his mind?
Well, the three assistants.
There's multiple coaches hired in Indy who went there to work with him.
If they went there before McDaniels was signed, that's on them.
Nah, I disagree.
Wow.
The staffs get put together like that. I disagree.
Wow, and I appreciate you getting on in. No, you see that again. You got to know who you're doing business with there. I'm not.
I love Pats fans. It's like, no, but I mean, part of his points with Look, if you haven't won a Super Bowl and money isn't, you know, you've been playing for 10 years of 500 teams.
Throw money out the window. This is not about
right.
money.
I mean, you're coming to the Patriots for one reason. You don't care if maybe the coaching staff might not be perfect for you and they're a little bit controversial in some of their moves. But you have, where else can you go where you have a legit chance to at least get to the Super Bowl more than New England?
All right, Brady, what is coming up next segment? We got a lot going on today.
Well, we were supposed to talk about Tom versus Time, episode 5. We're going to push that back 15 minutes, and then we'll talk about now what did the Patriots exactly promise McDaniels. We'll hear from Mike Reese.
All right, Town Fair Tire text line always open. I think Patriot fans are happy. Some of them a little upset, though. 802-655-6672. Give us your thoughts. Do you think any less now of McDaniels? Is this the kind of guy you want leading your team in 2 years, being your head coach, the face of the Patriots, when you know that he's not a man of his word? Or maybe he is, and this is just doing what's best for his family. 802-655-6672. You are in the huddle right here on 101.3.
Step one, watch sports. Step two, talk about sports. Now, back to the huddle on 101.3 ESPN.
All right, good afternoon, everybody. You're in the huddle right here, 101.3 ESPN. We got you want to go ahead and get to a few of the texts on the Town Fair Tire text line. Chris, the Med fans, read that one, Brady, because I think I'm not good at reading that one.
The coaches that got signed have a great job that pays well, not like you and I, Rich. This will all pass soon, and the Pats will be chasing another Super Bowl in 2018. Uh-huh. Look, I disagree with that. Yes, they have a good job. Yes, they're going to be paid handsomely for their work. That's all fine. But we always hear about, you know, when a head coach has a job and a new general manager comes in, we always say, well, he wasn't his guy. You know, well, you know, he's not his guy.
Right.
So now you've got coaches on staff that aren't going to be the guys of the head coach. And how long until those guys are replaceable then for the head coach to get his own guys in? They don't have any job security.
Mick in Grand Island, Rooney Rule would not apply if assistant coach contract has language guaranteeing the head coach job if it's open. I think this happened with Mike Martz. I disagree. I think you are right about that one.
Yeah, well, this was Seth Wickersham today on the Levitard show. Levitard asked him, is McDaniels the coach of this team, you know, when the job is next open, is what he said.
You know, I don't think it's a guarantee. I think that Josh is still going to look at other opportunities. Clearly, he must have been given some sort of assurance that he was the likely successor to Belichick. They can't put it in writing because it would be a massive violation of the Rooney Rule. Not that that gets enforced that much anyway. But I just don't know. I don't know. It's a weird situation.
Unnamed texter, I wish he would have left. I think we need new stuff, new blood.
Yeah, that's 505 passing yards. Really tough.
And Nick in Plattsburgh said Adam Schefter tweeted last night that a source told him Kraft will stick it to the Colts every chance he gets over Deflategate. For all the Patriot fans whose automatic response to criticize is they hate us because they ain't us. You're wrong. We hate you because you basically, your entire organization is composed of crappy human beings.
That's nice.
Wow.
Thank you, Nick.
Wow. Big Mike in McGillicuddy said McDaniels already has a bad rep from his time in Denver, and now this shadiness, not good to add on his resume. I agree with him on that.
I agree about that, too.
Yeah. All right, go ahead. What did they promise him, or allegedly promise him, for him to stay, Brady?
Well, his little bit like we talked about in the first segment. Here's what Mike Reese, ESPN Patriots reporter, this is what he says were the things that were promised to McDaniels.
There were two things, I'm told, that really made Josh McDaniels shift here. Number one, Bill Belichick said to him, I want you to be by my side. I'm going to open my world to you, show you how I view roster building, how I look at financials and the salary cap. And to McDaniels, who's 41 years old, the chance to be with Belichick, arguably the greatest coach of all time, 65 years old, to have that opportunity was viewed as to be extremely valuable to him.
I'm with you, Arnie, and I thought the same thing. Why is Belichick not training these guys in all aspects all along? I mean, that's what your job is as head coach, and we've had this debate, you know, about why Belichick assistants have failed. Well, maybe that's why. Yeah. They're not shown the entire operation.
We talk about this about quarterbacks also. Why isn't Tom Brady mentoring the young quarterbacks? I think this is a horrible look for Belichick. It just shows you how, not stubborn is the word, just how...
it's the word.
Or pig-headed. I mean,
he's incredibly
the
stubborn.
Fact that you don't want to go ahead and mentor somebody.
Yeah.
I mean, there's mentorship programs in just about every university times 10 in this country. And here you got these guys that won't go and pass down the secrets to stuff like this. It's disgusting.
But maybe, I mean, maybe finally he was humbled by the Super Bowl loss. I mean, here's I'm throwing anything out here to see what sticks, and it's kind of a reach. But the fact that he's doing this, he never did it for Romeo Crennel, never did it for anybody. I mean, you just go, you could go down the entire tree of Belichick people, and you're right. He's pretty much kept him at arm's length and kept all of his assistant coaches at arm's length. And that's a strange thing. I think you wonder if maybe he just said, look, I'm only going to be doing this for another year or two. Maybe it's time we go through the process of making this guy the next head coach. I mean, don't you think?
Well, I don't even know if I'd want him as a head coach if I was...
Everybody can keep hating the Patriots. It makes it more fun.
No, but I mean, if I'm even Robert Kraft, this guy was going to leave you. Now, I don't know why Kraft waited so long. I don't know if he slept on it. I don't know if there was something, somebody that got a bug in his ear. It's just not the way you do business. It's not the, and remember, these reports were coming about a month ago. So he kept Indianapolis, you know, pretty much tied up for the entire month. Right. When they could have gone in a different direction.
And what's the timeline of all of this? I mean, does Belichick say, Robert, can you sit down with him? I really have decided we can't afford to lose him. I mean, is what made him the guy and not Patricia? Look, I'm thrilled that McDaniels is staying. I said many times I don't think Patricia was a real glue guy for this team. And but what's the timeline of all this? Who spoke to whom first?
I think it's got to be that Belichick went to Kraft and tried to get this going. But the timing is bizarre. The timing is inappropriate from my standpoint. But the Colts had already called the press conference here on this. This is ridiculous. And you talk about, you know, we had this debate a couple of weeks ago. Is it Belichick's job to develop his coaching staff? And I think maybe at all levels of your coaching staff, it's not your job. It's not necessarily your job to go and talk with the, you know, first-year coaching intern about everything. That's not really your job. But when the guy has been your top lieutenant for a decade, maybe it's your job then to – I think it is your responsibility to help prepare him for another opportunity. I remember when I was coaching junior college baseball, the first day I got there, the head coach was teaching me inner workings of everything, whether it was scheduling, whether it was how to pay the umpires, whether it was recruiting, whether it was how to order the T-shirts. He was showing me everything.
But it's a slippery slope with the Patriots because they keep losing guys because they keep going 12-4 and 13-3 and getting to the Super Bowl. They have all of the success. So it's like, all right, do we show them every possible part of the inner workings? As a Pats fan, I would like them to do that if it makes the team win more often. But at the same time, and Zach from Bristol sort of brought this up, he says, that's exactly why I don't like the Pats. Brady and Belichick won't mentor or help anyone else because they only care about themselves. True, but what's an 850 winning percentage over the entire time those two have been together?
Oh, you didn't read the last sentence.
True superstars make everyone around them great.
Absolutely. You know, I'm tired of everybody giving Belichick a lot of the credit, right? Yeah, he's had a good run, but you know what? Phil Jackson, it's real easy to win. You know, he's not winning as the GM of the Knicks, but it's real easy to win when you got Kobe and Shaq, Michael and Scotty, huh? Then all of a sudden, it's real easy to win, but it ain't easy to win with Porzingis or Carmelo Anthony. Isn't that funny how that works there, Rich, huh?
No, the whole thing collapses as soon as Brady's knee collapses or whatever happens. You know, I mean, that's the thing about this. It's all over as soon as Brady's done. They become an instant 8-8 team or whatever they're going to become, and it's all over. Look, so... go ahead.
Belichick is still a great coach. I'm not going to sit here and say he's not a great coach, but it does bother me about the lack of development of his assistants, reportedly. I think when you have guys who have been with you for so long and have been loyal to you, I think you owe it to them to go out of your way to teach them. Mike Reese continued on. We touched on this a little bit, too, in segment one, but more of what aided McDaniel's decision to stay.
And the second part of this that appealed to Josh McDaniels was when the Patriots sort of sold him on the idea that his kids, who are 12, 10, 6, and 3, would have stability because they were willing to make a long-term commitment to him that in this coaching profession, it's hard to have your kids in the same school system for their entire youth, but they were willing to make a commitment to him from a time frame perspective that was possible.
That's fine. Do it in December.
Yeah.
It's so simple.
Do it in, Arnie, I wanted to ask you this because you've moved a lot and you have a family. Have you ever just taken a job without consulting them once?
I bet not.
What, consulting Beth?
Consulting, Beth and your kid are thinking about the impact.
Well, Shea was very young, so, you know, obviously we didn't consult him, but we thought what was best for him. My wife, I mean, every time I had an offer, we would discuss it. If it was usually a good offer, I don't remember turning too many jobs down. I remember a few, and the ones I turned down, I've kind of regretted, to be honest with you. I know the grass isn't always greener, but I've never said I would take a job and then the next day said, you know what, I've changed my mind. I don't want that job. I've said I'll let you know in 24 hours, gone to bed saying I'm going to take the job, woke up and changed my mind, but I never committed to anything. Mm-hmm. But no, I've never said I'm taking the job and had a buyer's remorse the next day. If I talk it over, we think about it. You know, we do the whole plus, minus, write them on the board, think about what life would be in that new city, how much it's going to cost. And if it was a great job, and I've had a lot of great opportunities, but never have I said, yeah, I'm taking it. I've got buyer's remorse.
Yeah, I mean, with me, obviously, it's just the only changes I've had to make are, you know, from one Burlington radio station to the next. So my then wife and my young child at the time, it didn't have any effect. We still lived in the same house. But I mean, you know, now that I'm an empty nester, it does. I would never have just said, you know what, I got a great offer in Omaha, Nebraska. I'm going to move next week. How do you feel about that? I would never do that. I mean, the fact that I live in Jericho is only because my daughter was at MMU, and I wanted to stay in that district so she could continue to go to MMU. I mean, you have to think family first.
Yeah, but you think family before you make the decision, and the family gets part of the decision long before the job is accepted. That's my point. McDaniels, he hasn't had this conversation with his wife 25 times before when he was interviewing last year for jobs and he was a front runner in San Francisco. He wasn't having this conversation. Don't use the family excuse just to cover up the shadiness. It's a convenient excuse and a lot of people will buy it. I'm not one of those
people.
And by
the way, you're in the wrong profession. If you want some job security, right? Job security just, and coaching,
just like radio,
they don't go hand in hand. So you've got the wrong thing on that one. So you better get in something different there. I think he comes out just looking horrible. I think the rest of the country are going to hate the Patriots worse. Though I think if you're a Pats fan a non-Pats fan, a non-Colts fan, I don't think the rest of the country really cares. Am I wrong about that? Do they really care that the Pats and Colts are fighting? Would you care if Pittsburgh and Cleveland were fighting or the Giants and Dallas? I don't know.
Giants and Dallas, you would because of where we are. But if it was Arizona and Houston, you wouldn't. You want to hear some fun breaking news?
Yeah.
Lonzo Ball's girlfriend is pregnant?
Yeah, the model.
Okay, I don't know who she is, but she's pregnant. So people are already saying they're going to call the baby the Big Baller Baby. They've already said LeVar has announced the kid will be a Laker.
I like that one.
They've said that, this one's dirty, but I don't want to repeat that one. LeVar is already scouting Lithuanian youth league teams.
I was about to say
teams.
That was the next one. I think he's going to play in Lithuania.
So there you go. And then Patrick Beverly going to be a grandpa because Patrick Beverly said he was Lonzo's dad.
I like that. So
that was pretty good, though. We went like 3 weeks without the word LeVar ever coming out on the show.
I think that's
nice. He seems like he's somewhat faded a little bit, do you think?
No, he's just in Lithuania now where he was undefeated, never lost.
How old is Lonzo?
19.
So if his son plays in the NBA when he's 20, they could play together.
They could.
Could they?
Right.
39-year-old and, 39-year-old and the kid would be, what, 20?
It's Ken Griffey all over again.
You could definitely play. Yeah. You could definitely play together. And LeVar could be the head coach. You could do something like that. All right, Brady, what do we got coming up next?
Coming up next, Tom versus Time, Episode 5, dropped before the Super Bowl. Another interesting episode, the penultimate episode of the series. What do we think of it?
All right, Tom Fair Tire text line, 802-655-6672. You're in the huddle right here on 101.3 ESPN.
What crazy thing will Arnie say next? Find out now on The Huddle with Rich and Arnie on 101.3 ESPN.
All right, good afternoon, everybody. You're in the huddle right here, 101.3 ESPN. Brady, no trivia tonight, my friend. It's snowing too hard tonight.
Yeah, no trivia tonight, unfortunately, because this was my night to host.
That's why we canceled it.
This is why nobody likes you.
No, it was a lot of snow. We didn't want you driving in the snow. No trivia tonight. We'll pick it back up next Wednesday, which, by the way, is Valentine's Day. So a special edition of Trivia Valentine's Day style. So that's going to be a lot of fun. So we didn't want anybody coming out in the snow today.
So neither of you have to shovel one inch of snow, do you?
No. 1 inch?
Right. Well, I'm just saying any. No, you don't have to. You don't even have to think about it.
We pay massive apartment and condo dues, and people do that for us.
Exactly.
I remember it well. I have a nice long driveway in Jericho. That should be interesting when I get home.
Yes, and you pay less on your mortgage than we pay in dues.
I'll tell you, it's the only time I would use the word less when it comes to my mortgage, believe me.
Andrew in Ferrisburg has a good point. So what would you be saying if Bill taught an assistant everything he knows, and then he gets a job in Buffalo as a head coach, uses the information to beat the Patriots on a regular basis?
I would respond and say, tough. That's the way the coaching goes.
Well, for him.
Well, would you anytime say, you know what, here's our game plan for the big game, but the four of you guys who I don't think I'm going to keep on the team next year, you should leave because I don't know where you're going to go, and I don't want to hear the special game plan I'm going to be.
It's like Butler. Yeah. Well, you're not going to be here next year. I'm going to sit you. Yeah. I mean, I doubt that's the reason it happened, but you know what? I just feel like we're just speculating big time and over speculating about the idea. We talked about it yesterday about the assistant coaches leaving and not having a lot of success. Do you really believe that Belichick is not sharing all of his information?
He isn't.
On the Patriots?
He isn't.
When they're coaching the Patriots?
He isn't, because that's why he was going to leave. This is the reason he's staying. He is not sure.
It's not about coaching the Patriots. It's about the inner workings of the organization and about how to handle contract negotiations and how to go things you don't have to worry about when you're a coordinator. And if you remember the 30 for 30 with Parcells, he said that Parcells taught him some of that stuff that he even said, when I was a coordinator, I did not have to know these things. Parcells taught me that stuff, and that's why it was so enlightening. I mean, look at all the Coach K disciples that are coaching around college basketball. They could go and beat Coach K regularly.
That's a good point.
You get college football assistants who leave.
Arizona has a lot out there too.
Yeah, you get college football assistants that leave and can go beat people. I'm not buying that.
You know what? I'll tell you what. I'm even going to throw it one step further because I was thinking about this. I was thinking of the head coach at Arizona, Sean Miller, and he has a brother who I believe coaches Indiana. Are you going to tell me that Belichick doesn't teach his own son the inner workings of the Patriots? And what's his job title?
I got one that's like an assistant defensive backs coach.
What the hell is that?
I
think I have a more prominent role in the Patriots than that guy does. Right. So you don't think he knows what the hell's going on? He's learning the inside system, but he's not teaching his assistant coaches. There you go.
Man, I guess. I mean, this reminds me of coaches just sitting down, even at the lowest level, like high school coaches, just sitting around talking, having a beer with each other. You think they're talking about strategy for the next game? I mean, no, but I would think within the team structure, and I get what you're saying, Brady, about the two Bills thing. So he was sort of taught to be this way.
Yeah. Right? Yeah, he was. And Parcells taught him these inner workings that now he's apparently going to teach McDaniels but hasn't done before. What did you think of Tom vs. Time, Episode 5? This was my least favorite one of the five.
I liked the first one because it was my first look behind the scenes. Yeah. I wasn't really too intrigued. I don't care how much. I mean, yeah, it's nice to see how much tape you watch and film you watch and hear what Giselle said. And what was it that you told me, what, two more Super Bowls? I don't even know what the hell she said anymore, to be honest with you.
10 more years, yeah, and he said two more Super Bowls.
My thing is this. If I really wanted the camera just rolling constantly. I don't, you know, they cut and edit, and you see how it is. I wanted more behind the scenes after that first one. They didn't give me enough behind the scenes. And, yeah, I was a little intrigued with what Giselle has to say. And she's more the only thing that really surprised me is she's more into him retiring and quitting football than I really thought. We used to joke about it. Giselle wants you gone. Giselle wants you to retire. She really wants him to retire.
I thought Episode 5 was the absolute definitive example of her pressure. And it's subtle, but it's there. It's not subtle. I'm saying it was subtle for the episode. I'm not sure it's real subtle off air. I mean, if it's going to be even brought up as much as it was in Episode 5, I can imagine what it's like when there aren't any cameras around. It was very much that. It was the first episode I've ever forwarded through. The whole long surfing thing in Costa Rica. It's like, I don't care. It seemed like it was ready to end a little earlier than it did.
Well, it was the longest one. It was 21 minutes instead of 15.
You could tell.
I actually thought it's fun. I have been very critical of Giselle, and I have said often that, you know, look, you knew what he was when you married him. Like, you knew he was a football player, and you knew he was a very accomplished football player, and you would have had to have known that his drive was the way it was to get him to be that good. So I kind of was like, you know what? You knew this going in. Now deal with it. I actually found her more likable seeing her talk than just hearing her quotes. I actually found her more likable. Even though she was saying a lot of the same sentiments, I actually found her more likable.
I just thought it was surprising how much she talked about really, really wanting him to retire as soon as possible. Because I think as Brady starts to fade at whatever year it's going to be, whether it's next year or whether it's 4 years down the line, I think Giselle has to be very careful about the way it's orchestrated, because she's going to play a role in it as far as public opinion goes.
It was the first time that I think I looked at Giselle as mother who wants her kid's father around and not controlling wife. I think that's where the separate. I think that's what made her more likable to me. When I started thinking about it from, she wants him around more because of the impact on the kids and the relationship to the kids and their entire family and not just her, that's what changed it for me.
You know, I think that this could be completely nuts. I'm sure you'll let me know.
It probably is.
I think that he promised that he was going to be retired by now, because how old are his kids? What's the youngest one?
Five, three? I think.
I was going to say.
Five is Vivian, the girl.
He's 40 years old. That's kind of late to be having kids at 35 years old. I think she said, all right, we'll have kids as you're going to retire, because I don't want you having, I don't want to have kids and you're going to be on the road for 10 years. I want you here to enjoy the little things, the little this, the first walk, that stuff. 35 years old, the kind of, I know maybe not nowadays, but that's a little old to be having kids.
The other thing that struck me about episode 5, did you find it strange? And I loved it because it made him more human. But he really was happily showing on camera exactly what his house looks like, what his vehicle looks like, and they're showing him driving around in, I assume, Foxborough somewhere. Did you find it strange that he was willing to let the cameras know all that stuff?
You know what? I didn't even think about it for the most part.
I wanted to see him in, like, where's his Ferrari? You know, where's that? Where's his Lamborghini?
No, but I mean, they had the Aston Martin in the one episode. Like,
but I mean, everybody has an Aston Martin who's rich. Stop it.
But I mean, there's Brady driving up after a win or a loss, depending on what the scene was, and they're showing his vehicle from the outside. And he's stopping at red lights. There's cars in front of him. Little do these people know that's Tom Brady behind him. But I mean, I was just surprised how much he was willing to allow that kind of thing that could become an issue. I mean, if you know what Tom Brady's car looks like, don't you think that's opening up a little bit?
The other thing I thought was really interesting was his candidness on saying that he thought the Patriots were better than every other team. I mean, he said flat out, we should not lose another game because I know we're better than these teams. And they ended up losing that game to Miami, you know, in week 13 or 14 or whatever on Monday Night Football. But the fact that he would say so publicly for something that he knows is being put out there. Sure. This isn't just him behind closed doors. He knows this is being put out there, and he still was willing to say, we're better than everybody.
Yeah. I want him mic'd up. You know what I mean? I want him yelling. I want to hear what he had to say to McDaniels. I want to hear that stuff.
Just a lot of this. The whole thing really surprised me. I couldn't watch enough of it.
How come he's never been mic'd up?
Of course, as soon as the Super Bowl ended, I wanted nothing to do with the Patriots, and I'm not going to watch it again for a while. But I don't know. I was amazed how much he opened up.
And the final thing I think that I take away from it is, I think Brady, and I think I've thought this for a while, but this just keeps showing it to me more, he's going to have a hard time walking away. Like, he is so dedicated and so driven, and he sees football. I mean, this one was called the spiritual game. Now, I don't know that Brady's religious, but he sees football as his religion. Mm-hmm. And he talked about it openly, about he loves this more than anything else. And I'm not going to say he loves it more than his family, but it's right up there.
Right.
So when he walks away, I wonder if he's going to have a hard time finding purpose. He's going to have all the money, and I don't know what he's going to be driven for.
Do you think he's ever going to want to have a social life? I mean, I know one of them was called the social, whatever it was, the social aspect of it. I think it might have been episode
It was
two,
episode three.
Three, maybe. Yeah, it was one of the middle ones. But, I mean, at no point ever in this thing, other than him driving his vehicle with, I'm assuming, you know, fogged windows, tinted windows,
right,
and nobody
could
see him. You never see him, and it's because he can't. But you think of, he's trying to be a normal guy, but you never see him shopping at the local store. He's never at a concert.
It's funny you bring that up. When I was living in Los Angeles, there was a local park which some of the guys come play ball. Regularly, regularly. I'd see Magic Johnson just come by, and people would say, there's Magic. He'd be playing ball with the guys on the court. It didn't make a difference, too. I mean, stuff like that I would love to see, but I don't think he wants to.
I don't think that's his personality. He understands exactly who he is. And let's face it, he can't go anywhere. I mean, if he wants to go to a movie theater, he's got to rent the whole thing out and bring his five or six people that he brings.
All right, Brady, what's coming up at Champlain Valley game night tonight?
Well, we're going to talk with Will Brown, UAlbany men's basketball coach. I'm going to ask him flat out if he guaranteed a victory over UVM, because some people think that he did.
You know what? Who would do a good job interviewing him? Not that you didn't do a good job, I'm sure, when you talked to him. No, Mrs. Henson. Yeah. Wouldn't that be great to have her interview the coach?
We need to check in with
her. I would love that. What's coming up next segment as we finish off hour one?
Something Rich is not going to want to hear about the Boston Celtics.
Wow! Coming up next, right here on 101.3 ESPN.
Rich, how do you deal with this guy? It's The Huddle with Rich and Arnie on 101.3 ESPN.
By the way, real quick, Matt Patricia said that we are not going to copy the Patriots and Bill Belichick when I go to Detroit.
He said I'm not going to try to be Bill Belichick.
Well, that's the same thing. He's not going to steal a lot, I don't think.
I'm not really thinking I'd confuse the two of them.
Brady, what do we got with the Celtics? Because right now they're still in first place and
barely
first place in the Eastern Conference, by what, one game?
They said they won't trade Marcus Smart for a rental player. And Rich, I know how much you hate Marcus Smart.
I don't like him.
I hate his shooting and his shot selection. That's all.
I just hate him on the offensive and defensive end.
I wish he wouldn't take 15 shots a game. That's all. I like everything else about his game.
Yeah, I don't think they can afford to trade him. Now, he's a free agent at the end of the year,
and he's gone.
He's a restricted free agent, though, so they can offer him something and have it matched by someone else. So I wouldn't say that he's gone.
Were you talking about Marcus Smart or Brady? You just don't want him taking 15 shots a game.
I think we're talking about you.
Oh, wow.
Wait a minute. If you scored 8 second-half points, you had to take at least 3 or 4 shots.
Yeah, I only took 3.
Ask about the 5 or 6 other threes that he missed.
Oh, I didn't remember those. Just 3. Took 3
That's
shots.
Okay. He plays great defense. He's like Marcus Smart. He dives all over the court. Look, Smart, again, Marcus Smart is invaluable for so many reasons, but it's not shot selection that's one of them. And he just, I mean, some of the shot choices he makes. I wish he'd just take 4 shots a game. And I'm hearing that that Ainge wants a number 1 for Marcus Smart, a first-round pick, whether that's late or... I mean, that's insane to rent Marcus Smart.
Yeah, I would say for the rental part. But first-round picks in the NBA aren't even valuable outside the lottery.
They're not very valuable.
It's amazing to me that people will clamor for extra fifth-round picks in the NFL, but anything outside the top 13 in the NBA is seen as worthless.
You want to read that tweet that came in? Because I think he's talking about you two guys.
No, he's talking about you and I.
Oh, wow! Go ahead, read it.
Some guy says, the two of us are annoying Patriot hater curse words.
That's not a curse word.
I don't even know what it is.
Okay.
That think you know more than you really do.
Do you know what that word is, Rich? Do you know what?
Let me look. Hang on. I'm reading about the Celtics.
I'll have to look it up in the Urban Dictionary.
I thought it was just a guy who just...
that can't be a swear. We can't say that word.
I don't even know if it's a real word. I think just maybe he had a tough time texting, and he just had a few of the extra wrong buttons.
I mean, it's basically two words in one, and neither of them are bad.
I never heard of that word before.
Yes, it's
a real word?
It's a derogatory thing. I found it on the Urban Dictionary.
Wow, of like a butt?
Yes. Okay. It makes sense.
Okay.
So you're basically being called toilet paper.
Okay. No, we're being called different than that.
Oh, all right.
Wow.
I'll have to share it with you at the break.
Okay. Congratulations.
Well, we had to look it up. He insulted us, but we had to look it up.
What about me, too? I've been mad at the Patriots for about, I don't know, 3 days. I count?
We'll throw you in there, too. You could be that also.
I've always wanted to be called that.
Hour one in the books. Brady's going to have a Sports Center update that we're going to get right in the Buster Only coming up next, right here on 101.3 ESPN.
All right, break time is over. Back to the best sports talk in the Champlain Valley. It's The Huddle with Rich and Arnie, only on 101.3 ESPN.
All right, good afternoon, everybody. You're in the huddle right here, 101.3 ESPN. Rich, no trivia tonight. It's snowing too hard outside. And by the way, you're going to help me take the snow off the windows and everything on my car?
Are you completely helpless?
Come on.
You're
come
younger
on.
Than I am.
But you got to help me a little
Why?
Bit.
Why? Just get a thing and I don't even have a wiper. I've just got my arm.
You better not be the guy that drives with a whole bunch of snow on your roof
and it blows up.
If that's you, because I'll rear-end you. I will rear-end you if you
probably be because you're tailgating and I slam on my brakes.
Yeah, I hate the guys that just like drive around with like a pile, like 5 inches of snow on top of the car.
Right, I'll just put it up
to 60.
That's
illegal, by the way.
Yeah, I'll put it up to 60. That'll get rid
of it all. Yes, exactly. Don't be that guy.
No, but it's nasty, man. I know they're only talking like 5 to 10 inches or whatever, but I guarantee you there'll be more in the hills where I live.
Wow, yeah, that's insane. So, hey, drive safe out there. Be careful out there. Getting a little bit of snow, so it's coming down like an inch an hour. So.
And it makes us think of Florida and Arizona.
Yes, as we go to the TikTok Jewelers guest line, joining us now, as he does every week, our ESPN MLB insider, it's Buster Olney. How you doing, Buster?
I'm doing okay, except I'm not looking forward to Florida and Arizona because it looks like all we're going to see is people throwing punches at each other as we get the excitement of baseball reopening. Woohoo!
Wow. You know, Buster, first thing we want to ask him is we've been talking so much about Josh McDaniels and, you know, people taking a job, backing out at the last minute. You remember a manager doing something like that or somebody that you were convinced a player was going to go to one team and just flipped at the last minute like that? How often does it happen in baseball?
Yeah, it happens occasionally, and Red Sox fans remember when, for a few hours, it looked like the guy who was going to run their baseball team was Billy Beane, who was going to leave the Oakland Athletics. And then he got back on the plane, from what I understand, and thought more about it and thought that he would have a happier life if he stayed with the Athletics. And it was in the aftermath of that that Larry Lucchino turned to a young executive named Theo Epstein.
Oh. Do you think less of people when they do something like that, when they give their word and then they back out of it like that, Buster?
Having done a lot of job stuff, and I'm sure you guys have had probably some situations where, you know, maybe some similar things, I tell you this, I don't really blame them, but I guess it just depends on what your own perspective on it is. I remember I was working in a newspaper and I got an offer from another place, and I told the other place, they said, if you do X, Y, and Z, then I'm coming. And then the place where I had been said, well, actually, now we want to do this. And I said, sorry, I gave my word. And I that's how I feel about it.
Yeah.
I mean, to me, if a candidate for one place says this is what it'll take to get me there, and they give it to you, and you say yes, then I feel like you're obligated to go, don't you guys?
Yeah,
I do.
It's funny because you want to go way back. This reminded me of Joe Rudy, if you remember that.
It was, the A's?
I think he was a Red Sox for 1 minute.
Wow, Joe Rudy.
Yeah, it was a huge like 6-player trade in the early mid 70s or whatever, and I was so excited, and then it broke my heart. But but anyway, Buster. You know, we heard the report today that J.D. Martinez is fed up with the Red Sox. What are you hearing? And is that a good idea for a guy to be, quote, fed up with the only team that seems to be pursuing him?
Yeah, agents and players that I talked to laughed at that report. They were like, yeah, okay. Yeah. I mean, in the end, he probably is going to sign someplace where they offer the most money. And the fact is that, you know, J.D. had a tremendous year last year, and you know, almost a home run every other game for the Diamondbacks, but it does not look like he has much of a volume of offers. I know the Diamondbacks absolutely love him, but it's probably really difficult for them to envision paying a corner outfielder who is trending toward a DH on a 5-year deal, and to match what the Red Sox have out there, which was 5 years and $100 million. I don't know if they move from that. I don't think they have. I think that they have a willingness to bend from that, you know, maybe get to 110, 115, 120, but they have to get an indication from J.D.'s agent, Scott Boras, that they're willing to really dig into it. I still think in the end, J.D. Martinez winds up signing with the Red Sox.
Buster, you mentioned that when you get to Florida and Arizona, the executives and the players' union are going to be balking at each other. Explain to us exactly why. How did the collective bargaining agreement get so bad for the players? Like, why this is happening because of their own agreement? What exactly is it?
Yeah, they blew it. The Players Association, which for years, has been the best union, maybe in the United States and perhaps in the world.
Wow!
In the negotiations in December 2016. In the hours leading up to that negotiation and in the day after, I had agents telling me before the ink was dry, oh, my God, we made a terrible deal. And they talked about how the union leadership, led by Tony Clark, had shut out a lot of the agents out of the process. And when they actually saw the terms that came out, they were stunned. Teams that I talked to were stunned. I wrote all this at the time, and everything that was predicted by the agents at that time has come true. And that is a couple things. One, the luxury tax levels have really served to encourage teams like the Yankees and the Dodgers to spend less money. And on the bottom end, it was a shock to a lot of agents that the union did not ask for any adjustment to a trend in baseball toward tanking. I mean, typically we've seen tanking in the NBA, maybe some in the NFL. You don't think of baseball as being an issue, but the last 6 years, with the success of the Cubs and the Astros, more and more teams are saying, you know what, we'd rather win 65 games than 78 games and cut our payroll down to nothing. And it is because of, 10, 12 teams not participating in this winter's market that the players, the free agent market has been very slow. And so last Friday and into yesterday, you had a couple of agents and you had Tony Clark coming on making statements and ripping baseball. And I got to tell you, and I tweeted this out this morning, for a lot of agents, more moderate agents, they felt like that was just excuse making, and it was like a pitcher who gives up a home run on a hanging curveball, drilling the next hitter with a fastball, and then blaming the catcher for the curveball pitcher call. What the union has been doing and all the statements and the rhetoric back and forth distracts from the basic issue of they made mistakes and they need to figure out a way to fix themselves internally. And everything else is just noise that is not constructive for the players.
How do you become head of the union? It's funny because Tony Clark, I remember him when he played basketball at the University of Arizona.
Right.
So he was a basketball player, for crying out loud. I'm like, what, he's a baseball president union? And by the way, who's the strongest part of the union? Is it the richest guys like Kershaw and stuff like that? Or is it the lowest guys that make the minimum or $1 million a year for them to hold strong?
Well, look, Tony is very well respected. I remember doing a piece once that at some point the Yankees, when he was a player, they were looking, if they ever needed a manager, then Tony Clark was going to be a guy that they would look at. And that sort of personality is carried over into this job. But I also would agree with what you would say. You wouldn't hire me to fix your tractor, okay? I'm a sports writer. In the same way, I don't think you necessarily ask someone who's not a labor lawyer to do that role. And I think, we saw the mistakes that they made. And, quite frankly, back in the mid-90s, man, the union was tough. And they were resolute, and they were united. Right now, it's the weakest union that I've seen since I started covering baseball in terms of, all their thoughts coming together. And that's what I mean when I talk about the union needs to fix their infrastructure, get everybody on the same page, make some adjustments with their leadership and in order to move forward. And I think all this other stuff, all it does is damage the players, because the players have to be the ones who stand out on the field, and the fan who's paid X number of dollars to get a ticket, reads about them complaining about their what kind of salaries they're making, and they can never win that fight.
Buster, don't shortchange yourself. I would trust a guy who grew up in Randolph Center to fix my tractor anytime.
Actually, you never would trust me. Believe me. A famous story in my family, when I was 5, when I was 15, 16, and my little brother, who was 5 at the time, future governor of Vermont, I was putting gasoline into what I thought was the right place in the tractor, and my 5-year-old brother looks at me and said, "Buster, you're putting it in the radiator." And I was like, "Sam, shut up. You're ridiculous. That's not true." Yes, he was 100% right. I was pouring gas into the radiator. So, no, you don't want me fixing your tractor.
Okay, I believe you. You talked me into it. Hey, I'll tell you, Arnie, about 5 minutes before the show started today, tried to gamble my paycheck away from me, convincing me that Russell Wilson got traded today. Is there any chance he would even attempt two sports? He's a Yankee now,
Is he any good at that, too? Yeah.
Yeah, apparently he certainly was a good baseball prospect, but I think there was a conversation between the Yankees and the Rangers about getting Russell Wilson over to the Yankees, just expose the young players to him. Russell likes to sort of dabble in the other thing. I don't think he's ever seriously talked about playing two sports. You know, the one thing you hear about Russell is he's incredibly impressive in person, and he really, his work ethic rubs off on other people. And I know, working on stories last week about Brian Cashman's 20th anniversary as the Yankees general manager, it's pretty clear Brian is always on the lookout for ways to, you know, evolve a thought and draw on other people's knowledge, and I think that's probably what he's doing here with Russell. Bring him into camp, have minor leaguers around him, have him show them about having a work ethic.
Buster Olney of ESPN with us, as he is every week. Speaking of other Yankees who were impressive in person, Aaron Judge and Giancarlo Stanton, the Yanks are doing something pretty cool. They're going to let fans in early to spring training workouts and games to see them take batting practice.
Yeah, I didn't see that. It doesn't surprise me. As you guys know, there was a conversation early last year where Major League Baseball actually wanted the Players Association agree to flip-flop when the home team takes batting practice to allow fans to see more of that. And the Players Association, in the end, you know, a sign of things to come, would not go along with it. They never came to an agreement, but the Yankees control the stuff in spring training, and so, yeah, you know, usually down there it's pretty loose, and they'll open up the gates at, you know, 9 o'clock, and I'm sure that they know that fans are absolutely intrigued by seeing the show that we're going to see put on every day in BP.
Anything that's going to shock us in the next week or two that's coming up that you're working on that you haven't spilled on out yet there, Buster?
The way you couch that, you put me in an impossible situation because I'd have to explain to my bosses why I didn't do it on their air. I think that you're seeing a real stalemate, and I am going to be curious to see what if this real anger about the union leadership among some players and some agents manifests itself in terms of alterations, and that's the word I'll use. To the leadership.
Hey, you know, I was going to ask it real quick. How? And I know he's passed away like 6 years now. Do they ever talk to like Marvin Miller? Remember when he was? I mean, he was like instrumental to the union. Did they ever get advice from him or no?
Well, as Marvin got older, you know, he would be more critical, and he was he was very much of a hardliner, old school in the way that you approach things. He didn't like it when they agreed to the drug testing. I think to your point, I think one of the mistakes that the current leadership made is that they just didn't involve more people who had deeper knowledge about labor stuff. Yeah. And, you know, it was said about Major League Baseball owners 25 years ago, you know what, the union has the better lawyers. And now that's said about the owners.
Yeah.
And it seems to have made a big difference.
Buster, what's your schedule like now for spring training? When do you go to Florida? When do you go to Arizona? Are you gone for the entire month and a half? How do you navigate spring training?
I'm going on the 15th. I've got some stuff that I need to do before then, and then I'll be sort of bouncing around from camp to camp, day to day. I will be home for about 6 days out of the 6 weeks.
Oof. I feel absolutely no sadness for you.
I know you don't.
Okay? And by the way, I will be hitting you up. I'll be hitting you up for tickets in
Arizona.
Which
is going to be
again,
out there.
So.
Which is better, Arizona or Florida?
Well, no doubt about it. Arizona is now because of the travel.
Yeah.
Look, you can stay in Phoenix, and you're no more than an hour from seeing every team. Whereas if you're in Florida, you know. And personally, I love Alligator Alley because you actually do see alligators on Alligator Alley. But in terms of how players feel about it, no question. All it right. is Phoenix.
It's all right. Heaven.
Buster, have a great time down there. Always appreciate it. It's baseball time, so have fun.
We'll
catch up. Yep, we'll catch up with you next week.
Sounds good, guys. Take care.
Thanks, Buster. Only, everybody, joining us on the TikTok Jewelers guest line.
So, TC and Buster, they said the exact same thing.
But you know what? I think a lot, there was actually, I think the White Sox used to be in Tucson. They moved on up. That's like even too far. There's what's the ratio? There's a lot more in Arizona than there is Florida.
It's half and half.
Really? I thought it was way more in Florida.
The Dodgers used to be in
Florida. Yes, that was big. Vero Beach.
Vero Beach.
Yeah.
I've been to that complex.
Really?
Multiple times.
That was big.
Beautiful.
Yeah. That was a big move for them to leave Vero Beach to, I don't even know where they are in Arizona.
Norwich University goes on their spring trip and plays at the old Dodgers spring training complex. Wow. When I coached there for a year, That's where we won.
Oh, that must have been a blast.
That was great.
That had been a lot
of fun. I
mean,
we won like one game, but yeah, it was great.
Rich, do you like, I mean, you know, I heard that it's like tough to get spring training tickets for the Cubs.
It is.
What is it, the Ho-Ho Cam?
No, they play in Mesa.
Yeah, but Ho-Ho Cam's the name
of
the...
Yeah, is that the name of it? Yeah, I think it's called Sloan Park now.
It was named after the Indian reservation.
Right, but I think it's Sloan Park now. But you're right. That is a tough one.
That holds like 5,000 or 6,000?
Oh, at least. It might be 10,000.
Oh, wow.
No, it's just like the Red Sox. The only tough ticket out there is the Cubs. And you'll pay 40, 45 bucks.
Ho-Ho-Cum Park or something?
That's what I said, Ho-Ho-Cum, but he said, no, they change the name.
Yeah, I think it's Sloan. I'll have to look. I thought it was Ho-Ho-Cum. I know it's in Mesa, but that's a tough ticket. But
actually, they call it Ho-Ho-Cum. I thought it was Ho-Ho-Cum, too.
But everywhere else is, you know, 10, 12 bucks for a ticket, miles apart.
When I lived out there, we would regularly go to games. I mean, regularly, just... go to games, have fun, and, you know, just you go. Sometimes you show up at the third inning and you leave in the fifth inning, Rich. You just don't even care.
No, well, believe me, I don't even, most of those days, I don't even know what teams are playing.
Right, exactly.
I just couldn't care less.
The Giants have a nice complex up there also,
they do. Yeah, there's only two left I haven't seen, and I'm going to see them next month.
So you saw the Dodgers already.
And a lot of teams share facilities
I saw that too. So what were you going to say, Brady? You had...
Ho-Ho-Cum Park is
the Cubs
now the home of the A's in spring training.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, because Sloan Park is the Cubs' place now.
Sloan Park is the Cubs. Ho-Ho-Cum Stadium is also in Mesa. It is now the home of the A's.
Right. So there they go. They moved down there. So you
I highly recommend it.
Just have a little blast. So I didn't know it was 50-50. I really thought there was a lot more in Arizona because they were leaving the Florida and all that.
Most of the Western teams are out there. I mean, it makes sense.
No, it does. Absolutely. Yeah. All right, Brady, that was good to talk to Buster Oldie, but what do we got coming up next?
Zach Cox, our Patriots insider from Nesson, usually joins us on Tuesday all season long. It'll be the last time he joins us. He wraps up the season and has got a lot to talk about.
We needed him today. That's coming up next right here on 101.3 ESPN.
All right, break time is over. Back to the best sports talk in the Champlain Valley. It's The Huddle with Rich and Arnie, only on 101.3 ESPN.
Welcome back here in The Huddle right here on 101.3 ESPN and 101.3ESPN.com. Let's go right out to the TikTok Jewelers guest line and find ourselves our Patriots insider from Nesson, who's been with us all year long, every step of the way, Zach Cox. Zach, how are you?
Doing great. Who knew the first 2 days after a Super Bowl could be this action packed?
Yeah, I was thinking once the game ended, you were going to get back to Boston and immediately head to Florida to play golf or something.
I know. Apparently not. Malcolm Butler and Josh McDaniels had other plans.
Well, let's work backwards, I guess, from Sunday. What was the experience like for you at the game? What was the game like from your vantage point?
I mean, the game, from an objective standpoint, was excellent. I mean, it was probably one of the more entertaining Super Bowls that we've seen, and we've seen plenty as people who have been watching the Patriots here for a long time. Still, just coming out of the game, it's still baffling to me, even 2 days later, 3 days later now, that Malcolm Butler did not play in this game for the Patriots. Who knows if that would have made the difference? You could have easily seen a situation where Malcolm Butler did play and then the Eagles still were able to beat the Patriots. He wouldn't have, having him out there wouldn't have kind of cured all of their ills, but the fact that he wasn't out there for this game and the fact that we really haven't gotten a good explanation other than Bill Belichick just didn't believe he was right for the game plan, it just doesn't make any sense.
Have we heard anything that we can piece together from the off-football, off-the-field stuff that's true? We heard maybe allegations of marijuana, maybe run-ins with the coaching staff, maybe a missed curfew. Anything we can put as fact yet?
Well, in my mind, I've been thinking that it has to be something because it even though Malcolm Butler, the season that he had this year was not nearly as consistent and effective as the ones that he had in 2015 and 2016, but he still played pretty much every single snap for this team. He played literally every single snap in the playoffs up until the Super Bowl. So it makes you think that there has to be something behind the scenes that happened to warrant basically an exile for the entire game. But from everything we're hearing now, it's beginning to seem more and more likely that this was actually a football decision, which is mind-boggling to me. But, I mean, Malcolm Butler came out with his statement yesterday denying reports that he missed curfew or that he really – I think he said I'm denying any of the ridiculous reports about my conduct this week. So he's basically saying he didn't do anything wrong. Bill Belichick the whole time has said that it was a football decision rather than a disciplinary decision. So I don't know. It still doesn't add up. I mean, the fact that Bill Belichick somehow decided that this is not our game plan here is not going to include Malcolm Butler. Fine. Maybe if you think that during the week, maybe if you just think that he doesn't match up correctly with the Eagles, you're not really happy with the way that he's been preparing, whatever. To keep that through the entire game still doesn't make any sense. I mean, with the people that you were throwing out there with Eric Rowe and Jordan Richards and Johnson Batamosi, just watching them struggle and saying not even saying, okay, fine, we'll try Malcolm Butler out here. It doesn't make any sense, and it seems like he did a disservice to his team. Unless there's something that has not come out yet that will kind of explain his rationale, to me it just seems like he didn't put the team first, which is really strange when it comes from coming from Bill Belichick.
How about the social media drama being created through the Patriots camp? You've got Butler's statement, as you said, liked by a number of the Patriots and prominent Patriots, including Gronk and Tom Brady. You've got Brandon Browner's post, which gets liked by current Patriot Dante Hightower. It seems like the players are on Butler's side. Does that lead any credence to the Bill Belichick is weighing on the locker room theory that we heard about this year?
I mean, it honestly wouldn't surprise me. I mean, even from talking to the players after the game, you feel like in a situation like this, if it was something where Butler had done something dumb to kind of jeopardize his spot on the team or to kind of put the team in danger, you feel like the players would have been angry at him. It would have been something where it's like Malcolm made a mistake and he kind of screwed this up for himself and for the whole team. I didn't get that sense at all. If anything, it was all the players were saying that, yeah, Malcolm Butler could have helped us in this game, and for the reason why he didn't play, I don't know. You have to go ask Coach about that. So that was a strange thing to see. And then, yeah, like you said, with the social media yesterday, where I think there was about a dozen or so current Patriots players who liked that Instagram post. Tom Brady even commented on it, saying that Malcolm Butler's been an amazing teammate and an amazing friend, and he will always be like that. So it's strange to see this kind of response. I don't think you would see this kind of response if Malcolm Butler did something to jeopardize the Patriots Super Bowl chances. So it does seem that this kind of falls on Bill Belichick right now, and we're not scheduled to talk to him again for another 2 months, almost probably until the draft or the owners meetings or something like that. So we're probably not going to get a real concrete answer anytime soon, but it definitely seems like Butler was not in the wrong from what we've seen so far.
Zach Cox, our Patriots insider at NESN, has been with us all year here on The Huddle on 101.3 ESPN and 101.3ESPN.com. Let's move to Josh McDaniels. It came out yesterday about 7:30 at night that he was going to stay in New England. Before we get to what it means for the Patriots, your initial thoughts on that news?
It was stunning. I mean, there had been some rumblings either right before the Super Bowl or maybe even during the Super Bowl from Mike Florio over at Pro Football Talk, who said that this was a possibility. Said there were, I think it was chattered was the word that he used, that this could happen. But you didn't really expect it to, especially after the Colts came out the next day and announced that Josh McDaniels was going to be hired as their next head coach. They flooded their Twitter feed, their website, with all sorts of updates about how excited they were to have Josh McDaniels to schedule a press conference and everything. And then it comes out a couple hours later that, no, he's not going to Indianapolis. He's actually staying with the Patriots. It's a bold move on his part because he pretty much killed any chance he has of becoming a head coach anywhere other than New England for the foreseeable future. I mean, to go through all of this song and dance with the team, to the Colts have actually hired, they've hired a couple assistants already that McDaniels told them to hire, basically. So now they're in a tough spot. This really does basically make him a persona non grata outside of New England, which makes you think that that Robert Kraft had to have promised him, or if not promised him, at least strongly implied that he will be the successor to Bill Belichick sooner rather than later, even though all the reports are there are that Bill Belichick is returning for the 2018 season.
Even if that's the case, that's a risky game to play if you're McDaniels, isn't it? Those coaches in waiting don't always work out. It didn't work for Belichick and Parcells with the Jets. It didn't work. You know, Jim Boeheim was supposed to retire like 7 times by now and hasn't done it at Syracuse. So isn't that a risky game for McDaniels to play?
It's a very risky game. I mean, like you said, there hasn't been any indication of when Bill Belichick wants to retire, other than the fact that it probably won't be this year. I did actually think, I found it interesting that, according to, I believe it was Mike Reese from ESPN, was reporting that Bill Belichick's promise to stay this season actually was part of what convinced McDaniels to also stay, that if Bill Belichick had left, McDaniels wouldn't have wanted to take over this team right away, which I found interesting. Mm-hmm. So who knows what his exact thoughts are. I have heard that his family, or the reports are out there that his family has been a big factor in this, the fact that he doesn't want to move his family across the country. Already did that a little bit earlier in his career with Denver and St. Louis, and the fact that he just kind of wants that stability, both job-wise and family-wise, sounds like that was kind of the prevailing factor for why he ended up staying. But like you said, it's a bold move. It's a move that can easily be questioned, and he can probably be questioning it himself if this doesn't work out in New England over the next couple of years.
Zach, we'll get you out of here on two more questions. It's obviously, we're 2 days into the offseason, so it's too early to speculate, but the Patriots have a number of key free agents, whether it be special teamers, whether it be in the running back field, like Deion Lewis and Rex Burkhead, or on the offensive line. They've got a number of key pieces. Who do we think they have to try to retain?
Yeah, it's going to be tough. I think they should really do their best to bring back Deion Lewis, but I can easily see him kind of getting a more lucrative contract elsewhere that the Patriots wouldn't be willing to pay after the season that he just had. Danny Amendola, I really think they should try to bring back. I don't think they're going to have that much difficulty bringing him back, especially since Josh McDaniels is now staying. I would have thought there could have been a scenario where McDaniels would entice Amendola to follow him to Indy, but now that's kind of off the table. And I think they need to bring back one of these tackles, at least. I think Nate Solder, he had a pretty strong season this year. He wasn't a Pro Bowl or an All-Pro or anything like that, but he had a pretty strong – he's been a pretty solid player over the last couple seasons for the Patriots after he came back from that injury in 2015, I think it was. And they really don't have any depth at offensive tackle right now. I mean, Nate Solder, Cameron Fleming, and LaAdrian Waddle are all supposed to hit free agency this year. That leaves basically just Marcus Cannon on the roster, because Antonio Garcia, their draft pick last year, hasn't played at all. Apparently, according to reports, he's down to 260 pounds, which is not nearly enough to be nearly heavy enough to be an NFL offensive lineman, NFL offensive tackle. And then they've got a couple other guys in Andrew Jelks and Jason King, some practice squad players that could factor into the equation down the line. But right now they have no consistency, and you can't really go into an NFL season with a massive question mark at left tackle, which is one of the most important positions on the field. So I think bringing back Nate Solder or finding some sort of definitive answer at left tackle is going to be one of their big areas of need this offseason. But they do have plenty of them. It's going to be a fascinating offseason for this team.
You mentioned those many needs. We had people all day yesterday tell us, spend every penny on the defense, get some pass rushers, need some more linebackers, because outside of Hightower, who was hurt most of the year, they didn't have anybody. What do you think free agency in the draft is the thing they have to address most?
Well, I think in the draft, they need to address quarterback. I think that's the most kind of obvious one, just because you currently don't have a successor to Tom Brady. And even though he does say he plans on playing another few seasons, and he looks like he can with the way that he played this year, you need to start the process of getting the next Jimmy Garoppolo into that spot. But outside of that, yeah, like you said, both of those spots need addressing: linebacker, defensive end. Who knows if they're going to try to address those through free agency like they did last year, or kind of lean more into the draft. They do have a normal allotment of draft picks this year, plus the early second rounder from the Garoppolo trade. So there's a lot of areas they could address. Cornerback is probably another one, since they'll almost certainly not bring Malcolm Butler back at this point. Running back, potentially, depending on what they do with Rex Burkhead and Deion Lewis, rather, in free agency. So a lot of areas of need. It's going to be, like I said, a fascinating offseason, and this is just how it goes with this team. I mean, we're 48 hours removed from the Super Bowl, and there's already storylines galore going on, so it's going to be exciting.
Zach Cox, our Patriots insider at Nesson, kind enough to be with us every week of the season. Check him out at Nesson.com, and an interesting offseason to follow over there at Nesson. So, Zach, we appreciate it. We'll keep our eyes on your content throughout the offseason. Maybe we'll hit you up again around the draft.
Absolutely. Big thanks for having me on this year, guys. It's been a lot of fun.
He's a lot of fun. Good job, Brady. Was that Zach Cox or Arnie Spanier? did I not say the same thing yesterday or when we were talking about the draft, what they need to go for, who's going to come back unrestricted? I said, got to get a quarterback. I said, as a matter of fact,
he actually said bring back Amendola, and you said get rid of Amendola.
Well, okay, that part. But Mason Rudolph, did I not throw that name out
you
there
did.
Yesterday also? So that is going to be a pressing need. For the Patriots, and by the way, not just the quarterback, the heir apparent now for Tom Brady. Now that everybody else is gone and Jimmy Garoppolo's gone, we got a call. Who's on the line there, Brady?
Tyler,
you're on 101.3 ESPN. What's going on, Tyler?
Hey guys, how's it going?
Hey Tyler,
good.
So I know this is going to sound crazy, but is there any chance? Is anybody speculating that Belichick moved to bench Butler has any connection to trying to save McDaniels in New England? Because, you know, we all know that Belichick is a mastermind. We know how things have been in the locker room and a little bit contentious between Brady and Kraft and himself. Is it a move to either win the Super Bowl with his best player on defense on the bench and look like a genius, or roll the dice and lose the game and know that McDaniels isn't going to want to go out a loser? Potentially.
You're right. You were right the first time. That is crazy.
That is a stretch.
No, I can't imagine that Belichick thinks like that. I can't imagine that.
I think I'll put the Super Bowl in grave danger by benching one of our best defensive players. I mean, he did it anyway. But
the thing I'm wondering about is how Matt Patricia feels in all this. Either they didn't offer him the red carpet like they offered McDaniels, and I'd be offended, or they did offer him the red carpet, and he said, "Nope, want to leave anyways." Yeah. I want to know which one of those happened.
And if he pitched a shutout in the Super Bowl, would he have gotten the same, Patricia, the same, as you said, red carpet treatment?
Yeah.
I wonder if they had won back-to-back Super Bowls, if Brady and Belichick would go one more year until they lose, and then say, that's it, we're done. We won back-to-back Super Bowls this year, we didn't get it done. That's it. Usually, if you don't go out on top and leave after a Super Bowl, you're just saying, okay, how many are we going to string together?
Right.
So one, then they lose this one, two, and then who knows, the first time they lose, they're done with.
This really feels to me, and maybe it's just because his contract is ending, but like Belichick's last season next year. Do you feel that way? And does it have anything to do with the contract? I think he's had it with all the periphery crap that he has to deal with.
His contract is ending? Do we even know the length of Belichick's contract?
I think it's through 2018.
I think it takes a lot of energy to be grumpy all the time. Brady, what's coming up on Champlain Valley game night tonight?
Nice take.
Well, I'm going to talk to you about why Josh McDaniels doing this is different than when Belichick did it with the Jets.
And tell everybody, no trivia tonight. It's coming down like crazy with the snow, so we decided no trivia tonight.
No trivia tonight at the City Sports Grill, but we will be back in action next Wednesday for a Valentine's Day edition of trivia.
Do you have to wear diapers and a cloth? You know what I like?
That's what you're going to wear.
Oh, that's what I'm going to wear there.
Right? For all we know, you already are.
You got it? You flaunt it. We'll have that coming up next right here on 101.3 ESPN.
Okay, that was a long enough break. We're back to the huddle with Rich and Arnie right here on 101.3 ESPN.
All right, good afternoon, everybody. You are in the huddle right here at 101.3 ESPN. Remember, again, no trivia tonight. A little too much, though. We'll pick it back up on Wednesdays. You guys have done a great job. We've had full houses through the first 3 days of trivia, so first 3 Wednesdays of trivia. So we'll pick it back up on Valentine's Day, which is going to be 1 week from today. Brady, you wanted to get into the press conference of Chris Ballard from Indianapolis, so I want to get into that a little bit.
Yeah, Chris Ballard is the GM of the Colts, and well, he had, by all accounts, a pretty strong press conference today about, how you come back from this whole Josh McDaniels thing. Well, here's how he ended his press conference.
I don't deal with New England. I have no idea what they're thinking.
In a sense, do you feel betrayed?
No. People make decisions. People tell people no every day, and that's his prerogative, and that's his choice. And he chose the path. He chose not to be an Indianapolis Colt. That's okay. We'll move forward. The rivalry is back on.
Everything was fine. Took the high road and then wham! Dropped the mic.
Do you want to know why he's more hissed off than even he's going to show on here? I mean, you want to talk about to a point that's boiling? He has a lot to say with this Josh McDaniels thing. You know that, right? His agent is McDaniels' agent. And that's Bob Lamont.
Now, yeah, although he broke with McDaniels today. Yeah,
because they gave him an ultimatum.
Right.
He went to Bob Lamont. I'm talking about
McDaniels or Ballard?
Ballard. And said, "You." It's like if Brady and I get into a fight, and I said, Rich, you got to pick one side or the other. Who's right, Brady or I? Ballard went to Bob Lamont and said, no, you're either my agent or you're his agent. I don't know that for a fact, but the fact that he canceled it off, did he not cancel it today, right?
He did.
That's not a coincidence. As a matter of fact, Bob Lamont said, my word is my bond. So he you could tell he was upset about this, and the GM said, I could see him saying, you're either my agent or you're his agent. Now, I guess you'd want to side on the GM side, but you've got to send players over to Indianapolis, so you want to be on the good side of a right. general manager. But that goes to show you how telling it is. I don't know. Am I wrong to assume that he said, you're either my agent or his agent, but you're not going to work for both of us anymore?
Well, I mean, they kind of painted the agent into a corner because it forces him to make
that,
a decision.
I don't know that, though. Maybe the agent just got so upset, he just said, I'm not going to deal with this either. I don't know.
They've worked together off and on throughout the year, so they've broken up multiple times.
Yeah, but he was upset.
No, as you said, my word is my bond, Lamont told Sports Business Journal today. Once you break that, there's nothing left. So,
I just wonder if he put the ultimatum to the agent, if he said it's me or him, because you just don't. Well, unless you're right, maybe they just said this is the final straw.
Yeah,
and I'm done with you. You know what I'm saying there?
As far as we had someone text in early an hour, one that said it can't be a rivalry if both teams aren't competitive. I don't know that it can be a rivalry. Two teams that aren't in the same division or aren't constantly at the top of the league. Like them in Pittsburgh,
yeah.
I could see being a rivalry because they're constantly battling out for 1-2. Other than that, I don't see the Patriots being a rivalry with anybody.
Right. The thing is Indianapolis doesn't play a first-place schedule anymore, and so therefore they don't run into New England.
They're going to play next year, though.
So, oh, are they playing?
In Foxborough.
Oh, okay.
I can't consider it a rivalry when I can still consider you the Baltimore Colts.
Okay.
I don't even consider the Indianapolis Colts.
Well, first of all, everything was fine with Ballard. I was impressed. I love people with passion like that. He was clearly furious, and yet he took the high road right up until the end. And for him to suggest the rivalry is back on in any way is preposterous.
Why was it off? Was there a rivalry? Was it off?
First of all, the Pats have beaten him, I think it's 7 in a row. And there has been nothing since Peyton Manning left the team. I mean, they had a good thing going. There were some great matchups. I remember was the AFC Championship game years ago, and the Pats had a huge lead at halftime and blew it. And they were at each other for a long time. But for Ballard to finish up by saying the rivalry is back on, well, no, sir, it isn't.
No, actually, I think it means because of the Deflategate stuff. There was the Deflategate stuff of which the Colts brought to light, and then they kind of pushed the issue on that, and then it got buried this year. It got buried this year because Belichick, and that was one of the big features of the Seth Wickersham thing, Belichick kind of helped get rid of the animosity between the Colts and the Pats. They traded him Jacoby Brissett. They made another move together, and now it looks like so you had Deflategate. They weren't talking. Then they did some things together to get it better, and now he's saying it's back.
Yeah, I just look at this as sort of saying Lakers Celtics are back on now, even though the Lakers are in whatever place they're in. I mean, they play each other twice a year, and the Lakers stink. So is the rivalry back on?
Nick
really?
In Plattsburgh says, hey, Rich, probably a little harsh with the Pats text before. Longtime fans are stuck with their team and can't control how they act. I owe you a beer the next time I bring my dad over for a UVM basketball game.
Nice.
Did somebody buy you a beer because you had to put up with me?
Yes, I've had several of those, and I want to thank you for that, including Sunday. I got the bill at the end of the night. It's like, wait a minute, I could have sworn I had a couple more than that.
You made our sales guy, Chris, buy you a beer at the end of the night.
Somebody bought him a beer because they said, for putting up with Arnie, you deserve a beer.
Right. Well, I wasn't driving, and I was drowning my sorrows. I was literally the only one left at McGillicuddy's other than the employees.
So how did you get home?
So I got my girlfriend took me home.
Oh, gotcha. Okay.
So.
Putting them down, Rich. Putting them down, my friend.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, believe me, I needed to.
How many people bought your beers because you had to do
I'd say 5.
Oh, jeez. Yeah. So many people just so upset with me.
Yeah,
huh?
There wasn't going to be a lot of driving Sunday night. But I don't know.
Wait, I saved you 20 seconds to talk about the Bruins from last night.
I'm telling you. Did you watch any of that game last night?
I was watching part
of it. That team is on fire. I'm sitting there watching
Tuca
the Celtics.
Tuca 19-0-2.
They never lose.
Yeah.
And they dominate teams. 3-2 doesn't tell the story of that
game.
But
Tuukka's not going to play tonight against the Rangers.
No, I'm sure Khudobin will play, and they may lose this game. This is a trap game. I know how much you love that phrase.
I think Tuukka's got a point in 21 consecutive games, which makes him the fourth Bruin ever to hit that number.
Yeah, and they just storm the net. The puck is in front of the opponent's net the entire game. I don't know where this came from. All these kids, Heinen scored. He had 2 points in the game winner last night. Never heard of these people,
Brady,
6 months ago.
If we gave you the day off tomorrow, would you go to Albany for the game?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, I would. Yeah. But I don't have the day off. So
and you would
matter.
Cheer for?
Oh.
I would be neutral.
Real quick.
I'd be a member of the media.
Tell everybody we're going to be tomorrow.
We're going to be out at the Windjammer tomorrow.
Yes, the Windjammer.
Well, yeah, upstairs.
Yes. Pond hockey starts this weekend, the Labatt Pond Hockey Classic. So that's down on Mallets Bay, and we'll be ushering in the start of the tournament, being at the Upper Deck Pub at the Windjammer. So great food, great drinks, great people there, and lots of hockey players coming in from everywhere.
And you're doing something Saturday, right?
Oh, my gosh. I'll be out there. I've never missed one. That's like heaven to me.
And I'm doing the pub crawl on Friday.
Yeah, so. You're doing the pub
doing
crawl.
The pub
How'd
crawl.
That happen?
Do I have to wear like something on my knees of crawling? Or can
well,
I just...
you may be on your knees by the end of the night because you won't be able to walk. No, I know that wouldn't be you. You're not that guy. But, yeah, you're doing the pub crawl. Yeah. I'm going to be out on the ice and Mallets
Bay. And Windjammer tomorrow.
All day Saturday.
All right, I'm going to be out there Friday.
Nice. Oh, nice. So we're busy people all weekend. All right, the last story standing. One is funny, and one I don't even know what the hell's going on anymore. There was a commercial. I don't even know if it's true, fake news, or whatever. That's coming. How about that? That's coming up next right here on 101.3 ESPN. Go.
It's time for one last piece of news gone untouched throughout the show. Wacky or insightful? It's time for Last Story Standing on the Huddle on 101.3 ESPN.
All right, there seemed to be some confusion over a Super Bowl ad. Well, that confusion's now cleared up. Did you see the Super Bowl ad about the Doritos? The Doritos ad that said they're making special Doritos for women that with less crunch and less dust on your fingers because they don't like to lick their fingers. Well,
Lady Doritos.
Doritos had to come out and say, no, we're not making special Doritos for women with reduced crunch and less orange finger dust. It says here, we already have Doritos for women. They're called Doritos, and they're loved by millions. So,
in other words, they all got together with the suits in a big back conference room and said, what have we done?
Yeah. So, but they are going to package it in favor. Some packaging is going to be in favor toward ladies, whatever that means. So.
I want to hang out with our guys from Mac Sugar Shack in the summer again, where they have the taco in a bag.
Yes,
Where it's Doritos with taco meat and taco sauce inside of it.
You love that.
Of course I loved it.
That is delicious. All right, Brady, what the heck is coming up on Champaign Valley Game Night tonight?
UAlbany basketball coach Will Brown will talk more about Josh McDaniels, and we'll talk about why the NFL needs to change a rule.
All right, for intern...
Nobody.
Intern nobody.
Just us.
What is going on with you?
The Shame weather was too bad. I told him not to come
in. You come in today. I don't care about the weather. You make the even if we don't have a show, they've got to come in.
Get out the whip.
For Brady and for Rich, I'm Arnie. Champaign Valley Game Night coming up next right here on 101.3 ESPN.